Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Susan Shand and Brian Lynn. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, American Roy Funch has lived and worked in northeastern Brazil for many years. Around his home are large mounds of dirt in the shape of a volcano. Funch often wondered what built them, how many there were, and how long they had been there. But a chance meeting with Stephen Martin, an expert on social insects, led to some interesting discoveries. Northeastern Brazil has over 200 million mounds of dirt, and they cover about 230,000 square kilometers, an area about the size of Britain. Some of the dirt mounds are almost 4,000 years old. Who or what made these small hills? Insects. Termites, to be exact. Funch told the Associated Press, "While the Romans were building their columns, their buildings, these termites were building their mounds." He added that the dirt columns represent the largest natural construction of any species other than humans. The mounds were found in a large desert-like area called the Caatinga. They stand between 2 to 4 meters high and are spaced almost equally apart, between 16 to 22 meters. Funch told the AP he wrote 2 stories about the dirt mounds in Brazilian publications, but they received little, if any, attention. Funch said he was not sure how to further his research because he is not an expert in the world of insects or scientific publishing. But then he met Stephen Martin, an entomologist with the University of Salford in England. A few years ago, Martin was studying honeybees and ants in the northeastern Brazilian state of Bahia. He was also interested in the dirt mounds. Martin and Funch met by chance next to a river in a small town about 50 kilometers west of the edge of the mound area. Martin spoke to Funch about seeing the volcano-like piles while he was driving. Funch told him, "You just met the only guy in Brazil who is working on these mounds." Soon after, Funch and Martin began to study them together. A report with their findings was published last month in the journal Current Biology. The two men found that the mounds were built by a large termite group that eats leaves and lives underground. But they did not find the termites actively working in the larger mounds. Instead, the insects were found along the edges of the mound areas. Funch and Martin found only a small tube-like hole going to the top of each pile. They did not find an extensive system of tunnels throughout. That suggested the termites were simply finding a place to leave earth from underground, where they build their passageways. Martin noted, "These are just waste heaps. Under normal circumstances, we wouldn't see them because they wouldn't persist for such a long time. The mounds are also very old. Scientific testing showed they were built from 690 to 3,820 years ago. Funch and Martin say there is much they still need to investigate. They both wonder why the mounds do not appear to have active termite colonies underneath them, as well as how long it took termites to make the biggest mounds.
For the first time in more than a century, bilbies are running wild in southeastern Australia. The small animals were once widespread across much of Australia, but were last observed in the wild in New South Wales state in 1912. Every year, bilby populations continue to decrease. Wildlife experts are afraid that the bilby, a small marsupial, could eventually disappear forever, either because of land clearing or fires. Another reason is a threat from cats and foxes, which hunt down and kill bilbies. In northern New South Wales state, environmentalists are celebrating what they are calling a historic moment. 30 bilbies from a captive breeding program have been released into a large, predator-free enclosed area north of Sydney. Without the protection of a 32-kilometer fence, experts say the animals probably would not survive. Tim Allard heads the Australian Wildlife Conservancy, which is involved in the project. He says the release of these beloved animals is a big deal. Bilbies only really survive behind fenced areas. There are some remaining wild bilby populations, but they get predated upon heavily by feral cats and foxes. Allard said the point of doing this project is to return the countryside to what it used to be before Europeans arrived. So, in the not-too-distant future, you will be able to go inside the fenced area, and it will be like stepping back before Europeans turned up, he said. Bilbies are known for their long ears and large back legs. They usually sleep during the day and are awake at night. They look a lot like rabbits and grow to about 2.5 kilograms. Australia has one of the world's worst rates of mammal extinctions. The Bilby Project is seen as an important part in protecting the nation's wildlife. I'm Susan Shand.
A team of machine learning developers has created a system for making caricatures of people's faces. In a caricature, the artist creates a drawing of a face, with different parts of it greatly enlarged or exaggerated in other ways. The pictures or images are usually made to make the person look funny. Such drawings can be difficult for machines to produce. This is often because the human face is made up of complex shapes with a lot of extremely small details. Generally, good caricatures require skilled artists who can effectively exaggerate faces while still staying true to life. The new system for making caricatures is the creation of computer scientists from the City University of Hong Kong and Microsoft Corporation. They presented their findings at a recent computer graphics conference in Tokyo. Kaidi Cao led the research. He is currently studying computer science at Stanford University in California. He helped develop the system while working as a volunteer at Microsoft. Other members of the team were Liu Yuan of Microsoft and Jing Liao of the City University of Hong Kong. Cao describes the process as a photo-to-caricature translation. He says other machine systems for creating caricatures depend on a series of rules, which are based on how people would draw. But his team's system uses machine learning to create the caricatures from thousands of examples made by experienced artists. In a paper explaining his research, Cao said other machine-based systems appear to pay more attention to appearance and style. But his team's research uses a second machine learning tool to add geometric exaggeration. The new method improves on existing ones in terms of visual quality and preserving identity, Cao wrote. In addition, the system gives users more ability to change results in both shape exaggeration and appearance, he added. The team tested how recognizable its caricatures were to human test subjects in two separate studies. In the first study, people were shown caricatures and then asked to choose the correct one from a group of images with faces that looked very similar. Test results showed that in many cases, people had difficulty choosing the correct image when the caricatures were created with the older methods. The researchers said this was because such systems often created caricatures that were far too exaggerated or unclear. Not surprisingly, the most easily recognized caricatures in the experiment were made by humans. But the researchers said their system performed better in tests with human subjects than the older methods. The second study tested how close the system's caricatures were to handmade caricature styles. People were first shown 8 caricatures drawn by artists. They were then presented with 1 hand-drawn caricature and 5 machine-created examples. Test subjects were then asked a series of questions about which examples were the most similar. Results showed that people taking part in this experiment chose the team's machine-created caricature about 23% of the time. This means the system can fool users into thinking it is the real hand-drawn caricature, the researchers wrote. The team noted, however, that an ideal fooling rate for such a system would be about 50%. To date, the team has mostly worked on developing caricatures of people's faces. But the researchers say they plan to expand on this in the future to include full bodies and other objects. They also plan to explore turning the current model around to permit caricature to photo translation. I'm Brian Lynn.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to The Making of a Nation, a program of American history for people learning English. I'm Steve Ember. On March 4th, 1801, Thomas Jefferson walked to the Capitol building in Washington. He was about to be inaugurated as the third president of the United States. He entered the Capitol to the thunder of cannon. All the senators and representatives stood until Jefferson sat down. A few moments later, the newly elected president rose and began to read his inaugural speech.
The most famous line in it is, "We are all Federalists, we are all Republicans." It was a statement about, after all of the bitter partisanship of the 1790s, as bitter as anything we see in America in the 2010s, Jefferson says he's going to create a kind of bipartisan presidency.
Historian Joseph Ellis is the author of many books about America's founders. He says Thomas Jefferson's speech was one of the best inaugural addresses in American history. Friends and fellow citizens, I have been called to the position of chief executive of our country. I must tell you how honored and thankful I am. But I must tell you, too, of my fears. Yes, I must tell you that the duties of your president are too much for any one man. However, I tell myself that I am not alone. When I see all your faces, I understand the wisdom of those who wrote our Constitution. For in you, the members of Congress, and in the judicial branch of our government, I know that I shall find the strength, the honesty, the courage that I shall need. We have passed through a hard year of bitter struggle between two political parties. We have shown the world that in America, all can speak, write, and think freely. The debate is over. The people have decided. Now is the time for all of us to unite for the good of all. The majority of the people have won the contest. But we must always remember that there is a minority. True, the majority must rule. But the rule of the majority must be just. The rights of the minority are equal to the rights of the majority and must be protected with equal laws. Let us unite with hearts and minds. Let us have peace and love in our relations with each other. For without peace and love, liberty and life are sad things indeed. Let us remember that the religious freedom which we have in the United States is nothing if we do not have political freedom. If we permit men to be punished because they do not agree with the majority. For hundreds of years in Europe, men have killed and have been killed in the name of liberty. It is not surprising, then, that even here, In our peaceful land, all cannot agree. But it is possible to have different ideas without forgetting our common wish. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. Most of us love our country. Most of us want it to grow. There may be among us those who want to end the Union of the States or to end our Republican government. Well then, let those men speak freely without fear. They are wrong, but America is strong enough to let them say what they wish. When men can think and speak freely, there is no danger to the nation. For those who do not agree with them also have the right to think and speak freely. There are some honest Americans who are afraid that a Republican government cannot be strong. But I ask these good men one question. Do they want us to destroy a government which has kept us strong and free for 10 years? I hope not. We have here in the United States the best and strongest government in the world. This is the only nation on the earth whose citizens know that the government belongs to them. Then there are some who say that men cannot govern themselves. What do they offer us instead? Government by kings? Are kings men, or are they angels? I will let history answer this question. Let us keep our union and our government by the people through their elected representatives. We are very fortunate here in the New World. Three 3,000 miles of ocean separate us from the wars and the dictatorships of Europe. Here we do not suffer as the people of Europe do. Here we have a great and rich land, with room for 100, perhaps 1,000 generations of Americans yet to be born. We and the American children who will come after us all have equal rights. We honor a man not because of his father, but for what the man is. We do not care what religion a man follows. In this country, men practice religion in many ways. Yet all our religions teach honesty, truth, and the love of man. All worship one God who rules the universe, who wants men to be happy in life. Yes, we are a fortunate people. What more do we need to make us happy? We need one more thing, my fellow citizens, a wise government. A government that keeps men from injuring each other. A government that gives men freedom to live and work in peace as they wish, and does not take from them the fruit of their labor. That is good government. In my short speech, I cannot tell you all the things that I believe our government should do and should not do, but I will tell you what I believe to be the most important principles of our government. This is what I believe in. The same and equal justice to all men, no matter what their religion, their political beliefs, or their class. Peace, trade, and friendship with all nations, but alliances for war with no nations. Support of the rights of the state governments, which are the best defenders of our republic. A strong central government under the Constitution to protect our peace at home and our safety in other parts of the world. We must keep the right of the people to elect their representatives. This is the safe way to change governments that make mistakes. Without the right of election, we will have bloody revolution. In our election, the majority must rule. This is the lifeblood of a republic. If the majority is not allowed to rule, then we will have dictatorship. America should have a good volunteer army to protect us in peace and in the first days of war until we use professional soldiers. But at all times, the civil officers of the government must be first over the military officers. The rights of man will be of the highest importance in this government. Information, knowledge, and opinions must move easily and swiftly. We will support freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of the person protected by the habeas corpus, and the right to trial by juries that are chosen fairly. These are the freedoms that brought us through a revolution and that made this nation. Our wise men wrote these freedoms. Our heroes gave their lives for these freedoms. They are the stones on which our political philosophy must be built. If we make the mistake of forgetting them, let us return to them quickly, for only these rights of man can bring us peace, liberty, and safety. Well then, my fellow citizens, I go to the position which you have given me. I am no George Washington. I cannot ask you to believe in me as you did in the man who led us through our revolution, the man who will always be first in the love of our country. I ask only that you give me your support and your strength. I know that I shall make mistakes, and even when I am right, there will be men who will say that I am wrong. I ask you to forgive my mistakes, which I promise will at least be honest mistakes. And I ask you to support me when I am right against the attacks of those who are wrong. Always, my purpose will be to strengthen the happiness and freedom of all Americans, those who do not agree with me, as well as those who do. I need you. I go to my work as President of the United States, ready to leave that position when you and the American people decide that there is a better man for it. May the power that leads the universe tell us what is best and bring to you peace and happiness.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.